I was talking to Karen Locker the other day from Solutions for E-Commerce. We all know she's a sponsor of my show. She pays me. I don't want to hide that, right? The other thing she reminded me, though, is that if you sign up for her service through my link, you get $50 off, right? You knew that. I forgot that she offers an inventory health assessment. I'm like, Karen, I probably should be talking about that. That valuable service, she's going to take a look through your inventory and help you figure it out. They're going to take care of your suppressed listings. You're tired of having stranded inventory? Is inventory getting lost? When's the last time you looked at your shipments to get them reconciled? How about refunds? Has that happened? Well, Karen takes care of all that for me. She's been doing it for almost 2 years. I pay the same rate you do, but I'm very, very pleased with the service. And two guys, two well-known guys in the area, reach out to me saying, hey, you've been with her. Are you satisfied? I'm perfectly satisfied. And again, I can message her. I get the services I need. So it's Solutions for E-Commerce. The only way you're going to get that deal is using my code Momentum. I have a link on my website. You have to go there. If you're thinking about outsourcing that piece of your business, get your inventory looked at.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 219, Mark Skeels and Kieran Joyce. You know, this is a two-person interview, and they are both in the e-commerce division of a company. And what was really interesting, I met Mark Skeels at a Amazon event in New York, and we got chatting, and one thing led to another. And come to find that he's selling directly on Amazon, their company is, but they also sell to third-party sellers. And so my ears peaked up, like, wait, wholesale? I mean, think about it, 1,000-plus people, and I find a wholesale opportunity? But it's interesting. What I took away from this interview is you get to hear what it's like for a large company. They're a very large company who's been in the product development business for a long time. They got a lot of licenses that they hold, and they are creating their own e-commerce division and some of the growing pains with that. And it was really, really interesting to hear some of that. And they're very candid, really nice guys. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. I'm excited today about the guests, plural, that I have, because I met one of the gentlemen in New York at the Amazon Boost Conference, and I was intrigued as we started talking, because we're standing at a bar, drinking, of course, and we just hit it off, and we just get a little chat going, and all of a sudden, it's like, huh, you also wholesale? And I'm like, my ears peaked up, and I'm like, whoa, I have an opportunity to buy products at a conference for Amazon sellers. How rare is that out of the 1,000 or 1,200 people in this crammed in this place? I meet the guy that I want to know. So his name is Mark Skeels, and he's with his partner, Kieran Joyce. How did I do on the names? Did I butcher him?
Sounds great.
Sounds good to me. Okay. All right. I didn't want to butcher him too bad. I apologize for that. So they are with a company called SBI Smart Brands International, and they both work in e-commerce sales, right? Is that fair?
Describe?
Yes. Okay. All right. And so I want to, it's going to be a little difficult because there's two guys and I want to get them both in here, but I want to get their stories first. So I think I'm going to save one. So I'm going to do Mark first. Mark, what's your background? How did you get into e-commerce? You're not a young dude. You're not as old as I am, but you're not, you know, some 21-year-old kid who knows nothing but that. What's your background?
Well, I'm a 31-year-old kid.
Oh, all right. Well, that's still, you're a kid to me. I've got a kid older than you.
Yeah. So I when I finished university, went down for communications. I actually worked in advertising as a video editor for years, and that's what I was doing. Started doing some kind of freelance website building and stuff. I kind of got into it, and then opportunity came up with this company to start doing their e-commerce. And guess that's in a nutshell how I.
How long ago was that?
I've been at this company for 3 years now.
So 3 years ago, e-commerce was clearly different than it is today. I mean, Amazon was dominant. Let's qualify this. First off, you're in Canada.
Yes.
You're in. So when we talk Amazon, it's different. Because if I'm correct, there's a, not an eBay. What's the big e-commerce site that's not eBay in Canada? I've heard the name. It's odd to me.
not Groupon.
No. It's another e-commerce site, but it's not eBay. That was.
Are you thinking Etsy?
No. I'll have to think about it. There's a weird name. Anyway, 3 years ago was on Amazon dominant in Canada?
Not like it is in the States. I mean, it still isn't dominant like .com, but it was here. But it's like the little brother, I guess.
Yeah, it's really starting to take its stride now, right? I mean, it's really starting to, because I remember Target was hot, and then they pulled out, and then all these other places are starting to fill in the market there. I mean, when you went into e-commerce, were they only selling in Canada, or was it also a U.S. E-commerce division when you came in?
So when I came in, we had no online presence.
Period. So wait, you're starting in the – oh, my God. 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
So, you guys are a big company.
We are. I mean, but we're traditionally doing direct import programs with major retailers. So we never have any domestic inventory. Wasn't even a real company website, especially for the size of the company. So, we're starting from scratch.
In 3 years. And so you were bringing products in. Give me an example of a product you would have imported, because you have a big Chinese operation. And so you'd bring something in, and give me something that you could say out loud 3 years ago.
Sure. So, I mean, we were a licensee of Michelin. So we did automotive safety kits and safety products with Michelin. So when a retailer would place an order on direct import, we'd piggyback on that order so we can get the good high volume pricing. And then we'd warehouse that here. So we get to launch that with full Michelin line of safety products that we had from the start. We also have some house brands as well. We brought in some, our house brand is called TrekSafe. So a lot more safety products with them. And then we had some Grundig flashlights as well to kick off the program at the end of the first year when I started here.
And would they have been sold to smaller retailers in addition to whatever the large retailer that brought them in?
We would, yeah. I mean,
like automotive stores or something like that.
Yeah, we do have some smaller, mom and pop stores that order small quantities, some smaller chains as well. We do sell to. We're moving more as the e-commerce grows and our domestic footprint increases, we're moving more towards catering to these smaller businesses as well under the same business model.
And so 3 years ago, there wasn't an idea. Who was the big thinker to say, you know, we really should start direct selling ourselves, not at a wholesale, because you're bringing it in, you're selling it wholesale to these vendors, correct?
Yeah. So right. I think how that, this is Kieran speaking.
Kieran. Now, okay. All right.
I think how that developed is, first, Mark kind of came on board because we didn't really have a developed website or any presence online. So before we even thought of direct selling, the idea was to have a presence. And that included having Mark's in-house photography skills and editing and really showing our products online. And that turned into us wanting to start to take some inventory. And before we even tried to sell this to small retailers or people online, it started by us having some overflow inventory. For whatever reason, some leftover stock or a small piggybacked order, that we decided we could and should start trying to sell directly to customers. And that started with Amazon.
You know, it's just interesting to me, because usually I was just thinking about last year. I was in, I guess maybe it was even this year, in Vegas at a conference, and there was somebody who joined our table, and she represented an e-commerce department, kind of similar to what you guys do, for a major manufacturer, and they had a huge line. And she said she's having a tough time getting any support from the white-haired old dudes running the company, because they have sold to these other companies for 20, 30 years. And now they're going around them and selling directly on Amazon. And that's what her role is. And she's meeting resistance there. It doesn't sound like that's the case there, or maybe it was. And maybe that's why you guys kind of slowly went into it. Can anybody talk about that?
Yeah, we had issues. We're still working through them, of course, but the way our company's structured, we've never really had a focus necessarily on the marketing aspect, and controlling our image is a completely new field for us. And so we've had to take a new approach with our selling, where we're really focusing on development and image before we're even having the discussion about inventory and where things are going to be sold, etc. It really flips the whole model upside down, and while we do that, we don't want it to conflict with any retail business. So
yeah, that's a delicate line to walk, isn't it? I mean, that's got to be very, very difficult. And how, you know, when you look out 5 years, you know, let me ask you this question. In the U.S., and I'm not sure how Canada is, but I assume it's similar, we've had about 6,000 retail stores close or announce that they're closing so far this year. And they originally projected 8. Now I think the projection's up to 9 or 10, maybe even 12. You guys bring in, I mean, have any of your customers that you bring in products for, you don't have to name them, of course, but have they closed? And then is that play into this conversation and at the higher levels?
We haven't had any major accounts close on us like that, but all of this definitely comes into the question. Of course, a lot of the smaller websites that we try to sell to want to compete with the larger players, mm-hmm. including Amazon and so on, our retail clients. And they expect the same prices, which really we can't compete even with ourselves if we wanted to. But it's a balancing act where, first and foremost, we don't want to undercut our retailers. And so everything online needs to be tailored around that, which I think in terms of our e-commerce has actually hindered us. Because
for sure,
we've actually really pivoted to pushing our own brands and developing new product and trying to be ahead of the curve with our own name and not undercutting both our brands and our retailers.
So let me just get an make sure I'm understanding this. So I'm looking at my stapler here. So you sell this stapler to, we'll just say Kmart, make it easy, right? So that you've been selling it all along, right? Stapler. Now all of a sudden, rather than you sell the stapler online and on Amazon specifically, and then the pricing that, you know, there's no such thing as MAP, right? They're all low prices. You then just come out with your own private label stapler, maybe with some different features or whatever, and then you can price it kind of what you want. Am I kind of in the right ballpark? Is that a?
Yep, you're getting pretty close. Okay. You're right. I mean, what we're doing now is that our volumes are increasing drastically right now, we're doing our own e-com ordering right now. And what we're doing, we're kind of creating our own e-com specific products. So we may have a product that's in a major retailer, but maybe we add a few extra components, kind of raise the price points, change the UPC in the title, and make it more of a premium, more expensive product to be sold online. So, let's go back to your question. We kind of are, you know, developing our own in-house branded products that are specifically made just for e-com only.
And it's kind of what you would do for, I mean, when I go to Costco or Walmart and I see a Walmart exclusive or Target exclusive or Costco exclusive, vendors have been doing that for years for them, right? If they order enough quantity or if they make a big enough commitment or whatever it is, you guys would customize, right? That's not unusual. But now the difference is you're doing it for yourself. That's got to be a different mindset. I mean, that must be a hard thing for people to understand at the executive level who have been selling to other players for so long. That's got to be a very difficult thing. I just don't think it would be an easy transition.
It's not. It's taken a bit to kind of transition to this. You're absolutely correct. But by making our own e-com specific items, we have complete control over our market. Sure. And that's what we're looking at. We're not competing against anyone else. We set the price points. We control everything. So, yeah, it's a bit extra work. It takes a bit, you know, especially on a new program with a company that traditionally has not done anything like this before. It's taken a bit, but I think we're really starting to see the rewards now by doing it this way.
Now, Kieran, your story is a little different than Mark's, right? You weren't hired to run the e-commerce division. At least I don't believe so. Am I correct?
No, I was not. No.
So go as deep as you want. I'm going to let you go on that one.
Sure. So so my dad actually owns this division of the company. He's the director of sales and marketing here in North America and runs the office. So he's been selling automotive safety products for decades. This started out of his garage, actually, and he's been doing it for a long time and has worked his way into major retailers and has really become an expert in the field in terms of all aspects of sourcing and developing and working with retailers and having contacts. And so about 4 summers ago, I was just starting at university, actually. I just graduated. And I came in to help with a major retail proposal. So I started in more of the retail aspect of the business, doing some sourcing, market research, etc.
The low end of the totem pole.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah,
like
yeah.
A dad would do. Normally make you earn your keep.
Exactly. And now look at him.
Yeah, he was just in Belize, right?
So I was studying business management, and I was learning really what our company has traditionally done. And I think once Mark came on board, we kind of merged those together and together started to learn really what the needs of our company was, where we didn't know much about e-commerce at the time. Our company didn't know much about e-commerce.
And I want to stop you there a second. So you learned about what your company was about, right? Is that what the phrase, is that how you said it?
That's exactly it.
Okay. So tell me, what did you learn?
I really learned how we approached putting together a new program. You know, we would come up with an idea for our next product line extension or, you know, 4-foot section of a retailer that we really wanted to go after for whatever reason, whether there was an opening or we had a good relationship with a buyer, etc. And so I learned really how we approached that by going into retail stores and or their online stores and getting as much information as possible, and then how we approached the sourcing from factories and then the rest of our team abroad and working with them and how the communication works, how the ordering works, etc.
Was that stuff documented?
Yeah, it was.
It was documented before you got there?
To a certain extent.
Okay.
What I started working on was actually separate from what we'd done in the past. It was just a different product line. Okay. And so I was really researching what our opportunities were before we got into e-commerce.
And was it market specific that you were looking at where the market was underserved, the opportunities? I mean, how does that work?
Yeah. I was really looking at one or two major retailers and one or two major things where we thought there was an opening in the market for us to push into. And there was. We've developed product that we still sell in that category, actually. It's
Now, you guys are, when I look at the companies that you license for, they all generally, at least four of the five that I'm looking at, all seem to be around the automotive industry. So that was because of your dad and what he knew. And is that fair? I don't know if the fifth one is the automotive. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, that's our bread and butter automotive.
Okay, so that's your automotive. Have you tried, or have others tried to break out of that, you know, your little niche there? Little niche, it's huge. Massive niche there and to some success? Or is that also resisted just because you know what you're doing, where you're doing it, and, you know, why get out of it?
Well, I think we've expanded, but it's still been pretty much within automotive and outdoors. Those are kind of our two categories. So it started with the safety kits. My dad had done those for decades. But then more recently, in the last few years, that's expanded into lighting, whether it be for a workplace, you know, a contractor needing a work light, or an outdoor safety product. We have a whole... Mark, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, we're always expanding the new categories. We've just acquired a license for Turtle Wax now, so we're coming up with all probably 40 or 50 SKUs of wash and wax accessories right now. We're doing power banks now, jump starters. We're even doing more extreme safety kits now within our categories. So we're now doing the snowmobile, ATV, and motorcycle safety kits as well, which are some pretty cool, unique features on them. We just ordered a whole bunch of work lights for e-com. They're really high lumen output work lights with some pretty cool innovative features on these work lights. So we're pretty excited about those, to get those for Q4. But we traditionally stay within the hardware automotive, but we don't mind venturing out.
You dip your toe out. You know, I'm sitting here thinking about this. How different is it bringing products, because now you're bringing products specific to e-commerce only? How different is that than bringing them, say, when you know you're going to bring them to retailers? You know, the quantities are significantly different than, you know, because the distribution model is significantly different. So you could probably do a lot more just in time, but just trying to think that through, but you probably don't get the scale of price, right? So how does that's got to be way different.
Yeah, the total process is different. I mean, pitching a program to, say, Walmart is 2 months of preparations and design work, and you do the meeting, and you get, you know, about 50,000 piece order, and then you walk away. With e-commerce, it's different. The development's still the same. We'll probably alter a current product that we have and make it more e-commerce specific, but once we sell a program to Walmart, they buy it, they take it FOB China, and we walk away. Mm-hmm. Now, when we do an e-commerce program, we bring it in here. Now, we have to market it. We have to sell it.
Are you bringing a right to Canada in every instance, or are you sending some right to Amazon US too?
Both, yeah. So we'll usually bring a container of each into each of the countries. But yeah, now we own it, and we don't have a home for it yet. So we've got to sell it. We've got to promote it, market it, manage it. Yeah, it's totally different business model.
And it's definitely interesting to see the reactions of our directors, both here and in our European offices especially, because they're accountable as well for the inventory. And inventory is often the biggest fear. However, we can't do anything but have inventory. You know, if we don't have inventory of certain SKUs, we can't sell. And you never want to shut off the taps of a SKU that's selling well on Amazon or elsewhere.
So that's been a different business, right? So your finance department's got to be sitting there saying, "Whoa, what's going on here? We, you know, it affects, right? And cash flow, clearly, exactly. It's got to affect."
And even to start a new SKU, you still need to order the minimum order quantity, and that's something that we've learned to really pick what SKUs we want to bring, because we need to be confident that 300 units of something might seem very small to someone who sells to retailers, but as a new SKU online where you're not too sure about its success, we've learned to have to be very confident and to meet that demand is actually quite difficult at times for a new SKU, because you really never know.
Yeah, the research before we order products is much more extensive. I mean, we really do our comp shops, our research, make sure our products are unique, they're different, what our advantages are, and we're pretty selective on what we actually choose to manufacture and bring in.
Do they, because you do answer to other people, right? You don't get the final say. Is there now, you know, hey, that's just too small. You know, that's just, what's the potential of the market? Well, it's $1 million. It's never going to be big enough for us. Do they give you those kind of, are those constraints put on you, or are you able to kind of, you know, get some leeway there and kind of go with what you think is the right thing at this point?
It's, the support has been improving in terms of that aspect, but I think the one thing we sometimes get is, when we're ordering a certain product, the quantities will be bumped up in the expectation that our sales will grow at a certain rate. That
bumped up by you or bumped up by somebody above you?
Bumped up by somebody above me.
Oh, ouch.
Put the pressure on.
Ouch.
And not that we don't have confidence in a certain product, but, you know, I think some people expect the sales to be about the same across the board, and we understand now, we've learned over the years, that some products take a bit more time depending on how niche they are, and so on.
Yeah, we've definitely learned from some mistakes.
Yeah, you have to make mistakes.
SKUs, right? And that's, you know, some things we can control and some things we can't. I mean, we had a really great automotive safety kit a couple of years ago, and I think it was one of our best safety kits. But the retailer, at the end of the winter season, usually auto safety kits are popular in the winter. At the end of this winter season, they decided to blow the kits out at below our FOB price online. So we couldn't sell them anywhere because people would Google the kit, and then they go up to that major retailer, it's the first thing that pops up, and they're like, "You're trying to sell it to us for more than what, you know?" Yeah, they're selling
double.
It. Yeah, double. So yeah, that kit was trouble in the U.S. It was okay in Canada because it was a U.S. retailer, but you know, things like that you learn, right?
And yeah, so you have competition from two different ways. I mean, two different sides. I mean, that makes that very difficult, right? That you know, you have to worry about your retailers blowing out those products, let alone if you sell directly to Amazon, which do you sell directly to Amazon?
We do, yeah. So,
okay, so you have to worry about that too.
Yeah, and they've done that to us as well.
Sure.
it's yeah, and we can't beat them too. We can't sell below what they're selling it, because then we're going to get in trouble, right? And we've been bit by that once by a big retailer selling it lower than they were selling it. And you learn, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's a complicated business. Now, so I should qualify this to say also that you do sell to guys like me, wholesalers,
or as a wholesale, so I could buy and resell if I meet your requirements or whatever. In some cases, you actually do. So you sell yourself, you sell to retailers, and then you also sell to third-party sellers. Now, do you put, I mean, do you have MAP agreements and all that kind of jazz when you're looking at third-party sellers?
Yeah, there's
certain... Depends. Sometimes, I mean, it's... Usually it's...
Pricey. I'm not saying you can enforce it. Yeah. I'm just saying, do you have them to make
yeah,
it?
Yeah, no.
So somebody feels good.
Right. Generally, no, we don't. The pricing is usually kind of structured that, you know, everyone will make a decent margin. And I don't know. We haven't had that issue yet.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't had any issues with people trying to take our products to a new market, whether that be to a different country or elsewhere. That really hasn't been a big issue.
Are you open to that?
We are looking to expand abroad. That's something we've thrown on the table. We've talked about it. We're really looking to explore all possible opportunities through e-commerce. And I think there's opportunities through improving our drop shipping for retailers, wholesale especially, to, selling to wholesalers. But again, also Amazon. And
part of Kieran's last summer, he was in China looking for international e-commerce possibilities, and he's going to Holland in September, right? As well for probably a couple months to link our companies internationally. So yes, global expansion is in our cards for sure.
I guess I should mention that you guys have 25 people stationed in China. So this is not a small operation by any stretch. Are they mostly sourcing products for you at this point, or quality control, or what do they basically do in the Chinese division?
Yeah. Two functions. So about 7 to 10 of them work directly with us as part of our team, and they handle a lot of the sourcing and packaging and working with factories. But as well, the rest of the team over there, they're technically a separate company that also sells within China. So they've actually been focusing on growing their e-commerce because e-commerce is booming over there. So they're learning, they're improving their system. And then the people we work with are also the people we work with directly over there. Our team is also starting to understand how to source and develop and support our e-commerce here. Hmm. And so as a whole company, we're really improving together.
Do you sell in the EU in any of those Amazon environments there?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Because I was going to ask. So it sounds like you have China, Canada, and the U.S., right?
Is that... Yeah. Yeah, the corporation that owns us is actually Dutch, and they're more of a import-export. They have thousands of SKUs, and they sell to a bunch of retailers, but they actually sell to Amazon now. That's something new in the last few years. I think they have a few thousand SKUs.
Okay. Well, where I was going to go was is when you find some efficiency, or when they find something that works really well in China, is there a good communication across, or is that why, Kieran, you're going to help work with that so you can apply those best practices across now three large marketplaces? I mean, they're all large.
Yeah, that was really the purpose of the trip is one, communication between the two teams, and two, just learning the business models. They really are very different between North America and China. Yeah, I found it was very different. Alibaba over there actually doesn't really have fulfillment centers in the same way that Amazon works here. So it's a completely different market structure, and there's a lot more, from what I understood, a lot more distributors that are willing to take over a brand's whole business and do it for a company, basically.
So the manufacturer has a distributor, separate, completely separate, that handles that distribution and that whole side of it.
Interesting. Pretty much. If the brand and the product selection is big enough, like if you were taking a program that would be traditionally what we'd consider designed for retail, where you have a full section or more, enough to fill a category, and you want to get that product online, it's a big undertaking to manage all that inventory for a company that's traditionally not used to handling inventory in that way. And so you can hire a third party to help you out and to warehouse it, because most companies won't have that kind of warehousing capability.
All right, what I want to do is I want to take a break. When we come back, I want to start talking about where you came from, right? So we already said you started the division less than 3 years ago, or 3 years about. where you're at now and where the next level is going to be, and then how you see that kind of, I mean, especially because you guys are so global, so you get to see it so much better than we do. What you see going on as your company expands with these other channels that are out there, Jet and Walmart and all the rest of those. All right, is that fair?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back. Q4 is coming and you need to get ready now. How would you like some help in getting the keywords you need to drive your private label and wholesale sales even higher? Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, getting those right keywords takes a lot of time. Time that you just don't have. Well, I have the product for you. It's called Scope. Yep, Scope. Comes from the gang at Seller Lab, so you know you can trust it. Scope helps you optimize your listing based on the keywords that are actually helping your competitors sell their products. Yes, you get to see them. You want to get your listing in the best position to sell your products. After all, that's what we're here for, is to sell products. Jeff gave me a great offer for you. The first three keywords are free and $50 off an annual plan. That's the lowest price out there, and you get it because you're listening to my podcast. There's two simple ways to get it. Go to sellerlabs.com/momentum. There's a place to pop in a code. The code is momentum. So again, sellerlabs.com/momentum. Use the code word momentum. Or, even easier, text the phrase get scope. No space, just get scope to 44222 and follow the instructions. It's very, very simple. So text get scope to 44222. You're going to get three free keywords, $50 off. Great offer. Remember to tell Jeff I sent you. It's pretty interesting listening to how the inner workings were prior to the internet and now how they are today and how they try to compete for those scarce resources, right? Everybody needs resources. So if they're putting effort into e-commerce, it's coming at the cost of something else at this point, right? And the way they kind of have to, you know, pick their battles, I think was the phrase they use. And I just love it that they've learned and they're bumping and grinding kind of like we are. There's a lot of similarities, and yet it's a huge, huge, massive company, but they have the same issues we have. And what's interesting to me, they got two smart guys working on it, and I think that that's going to be the challenge for us all, is they've got double the effort working to compete with us, you know, in a positive way, but it's still a competitor. And that's going to be a challenge. When they figure things out, they can double their efforts. And so really interesting, and I hope you get something from it. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Mark Skeels and Kieran Joyce, and they're from SBI, Smart Brands International. They're a Canadian, North American, I guess I should say, division. And on your business card, Mark, it had five companies, these are major companies that you're licensed for. Are there more than that's five?
Nope. Those are the main ones.
Okay.
Those are,
all right. I didn't know if you just couldn't fit any more logos on this card, man. They really are cramming it up. But it's really cool because these are mega brands with thousands of SKUs, right? I mean, is that fair? Thousands of SKUs?
They are. Yeah. I mean, but we develop all of our own ourselves here though. So we actually don't, we're using some of the stuff from Asia with Goodyear, but generally speaking, we do everything custom ourselves.
Well, let me ask you about that, about Goodyear, for example. Do you have products that compete against Goodyear that they have? Like windshield wiper blades would be one, right? I know they sell those. I mean, so do you have your own line of those?
No. When licensee agreement, Goodyear will have license agreement based on product category and geographical location. So whoever's doing the wiper blades in Canada is the only person that can do it. And then same with other product categories. So we've got with Goodyear automotive safety products and accessories in North America only. So we can't produce anything else or compete in any other categories with the other licenses, because Goodyear doesn't actually make the stuff themselves. They license all the stuff out. So yeah, I mean, like we were licensee of Michelin as well. And it was great because we actually worked with all the other licensees in different countries too to share products and stuff. So we worked together, and we're carved up in our own space.
Okay, and that would prevent you from just opening up in Europe, duh, Steve. Now I get it, right? If I'm finally getting that, right? That makes perfect sense. Okay, so business is good. You're growing. You're looking for more people to sell your products. You're looking for more retailers to sell your products, right? You're looking for more products to bring to e-commerce. Are you looking at other channels? Do you sell on Walmart.com?
No, not yet.
Okay, so you're open to that. Are you open to selling on Jet.com if licensee would allow, you know.
Yes.
Okay, so you that. How about even like an eBay in some cases?
We started with eBay and just we didn't put enough, I don't think, muscle behind it in time. We just, for some reason, maybe it's just me, just that the image of eBay having these finished retail goods and stuff, it seems like it's not the best marketplace, I guess, for some of these more commodity-based items, I think.
So, okay, so you... But... Go ahead.
No, yeah, but we're definitely want to revisit that and with eBay, though.
Well, because it changes and it evolves, right? As the more market, you know, again, I mean, I can't downplay it enough that those retail locations that are closing, they're affecting people. So, you know, if you're in a city and a store closes, no big deal. Just go to another store. But if you're in the Midwest and that Kmart, for example, is probably one of the best examples, they're in the middle of nowhere America. And when they close, that's the store. Now you've got to drive an extra 20 or 30 miles. So the only place to go is to go online. And so, you know, hence the reason that any marketplace, the advice I got from a pretty big internet guy was you have to be on every channel, Steve. That was his advice. You got to be everywhere because you never know which one's going to take off and be the next big one. Now, of course, Amazon is the, you know, 80% of e-commerce, you know, so, and you're there. Do you have all your products on Amazon?
Yes.
100%.
Ooh, okay, no. The
one that you're allowed to put on. I guess I should say it that way, that you're allowed. Yeah,
the ones that we have in stock, yes. The retailers will have other, like certain, there's certain, we do a deal with a retailer. We may choose not to take all the products they took for online for various reasons, price points, shipping weight and stuff like that. So everything we have in stock is online, but it's not everything we do sell currently as a company.
Do those companies complain? So, for example, Walmart is bringing in your Trek Safe Winter Auto Safety Kit, right? They're bringing them in, and then you say, "Oh, by the way, we're also selling these on Amazon." Do they balk?
Pricing is the most important thing.
Okay, so as long as you honor MAP and you protect them, they probably wouldn't balk. So then, hence the reason you would have your own Trek Safe instead of a CP10, you might have a CP12, which has 12 of this or an extra set of gloves, or I don't know, I'm making stuff up like that. Okay.
There's a lot of tactics we can use. We have a kind of setup where we have an ancillary company called the Roadside Assistance Company, which is also our B2C website. And technically that's owned as a separate company than SBI. It's just so we can treat it as we would treat another vendor. And that's really how we take the approach, and we make sure our pricing is consistent and fair, and that we don't undercut someone like Walmart. Because really that's, at the end of the day, those deals are much more important than even Amazon for us right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to see just the note here talking about Walmart and our pricing is that, you know, Amazon and obviously Walmart are they're going head to head in e-commerce right now, and so we had something we had in Walmart, and then Amazon offered, well, if you drop your price by a bit, we'll give you 7 points off for the next 2 weeks. And I didn't think, okay, sure, I just clicked it. And then 2 days, an email from Walmart noticed.
Saying, hey, well, you know, let's face it. This is they're at loggerheads right now, right? They're really trying to figure it out. And I've seen those notes go to other people when they're like, hey, you know, you can't, in the past, it was just like, no big deal or whatever. It's a big deal now, right? I mean, everything they take personal, right? It's personal for them.
And so we can get away with, we can offer our products a little more expensive on Amazon than Walmart in Canada because Amazon doesn't have their pricing parity rules here in Canada.
Oh, interesting. But
from my understanding in the US, they still have those rules where if you're going to have a certain SKU on Amazon and that SKU is anywhere else online, it can't be any cheaper anywhere else, whether that's just the product or the product plus shipping. And that really makes it difficult for us to get products and pick products that we want on Amazon in the U.S.
Your Canadian operation, I assume, this is Steve assuming, that it's small in comparison to the U.S. just as Amazon is small in Canada versus the U.S. Is that reasonable?
It's actually fairly even.
Yeah, surprisingly, yeah.
Why? Is it because you guys had a foothold there first because you're from that? I mean, is that... It's the market you know?
Probably.
Yeah, a lot of our, you know, we've pretty big footprint here with the major retailers here. I mean, we have it in the States as well, but yeah, I guess I don't like, I guess there's a lot of safety products and a lot of winter safety. I guess we get tougher winters up here. So,
For sure.
I mean, some of our premium winter safety kits will go before the season even starts last year. We were sold out before winter even hit last year.
Oh, so yeah. There's a pro tip, everyone.
This year.
Buy your Trek safe, hoard it, and then you know they're going to run out.
Yeah.
That was my pro tip for everyone. So I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, where you guys go, you know, how do you sit there and say, okay, we want to grow. I mean, you want to kill it, right? You want to prove dad wrong. You are going to be successful, Kieran, right? That's what you're going to tell, right?
Yeah,
so, exactly. you want to be as big as Walmart, you know, and to be fair, you want it to be a meaningful piece of the business because it's not as if it's going to happen. It's a question of when it's going to happen, right? I mean, we all know that eventually, you know, since we're only, 15% in e-commerce, you know, of all retail at this point, it's only going to get bigger. It's not going to get smaller. And so how do you just keep plugging forward when you see some opportunities that you're not getting, right? Because, you know, stuff's going to Walmart or stuff's going to Target or whoever else it is. And you have that delay or you don't have the ability to get it to market as fast as them because they have to get it first or whatever. How do you bite your tongue or do you bite your tongue? Are you vocal about it?
We really pick our moments. I mean, we can't take on too much is what I think one of the things we've really learned. We're better to pick just a few winning SKUs and develop them ourselves. Than to try to be at Walmart or another retailer where we're taking, you know, 40 SKUs plus and it is tough to pick your moments, but we've really learned a lot over the last few years about what efficiencies and really what works best for where we're at right now.
Yeah, I guess the other thing would be is there's an advantage. You do get to cherry pick, right? If you don't have to take all 40 where they're taking all 40 and some of them are, you know, $6 light bulbs, you don't have to waste your time on that. You get to pick the expensive jump start boost cables, right? Or something really good like that that's really expensive. So you can make, I assume your margins are a heck of a lot better on your e-commerce, your gross margins.
Kind of. We work in pretty tight margins, right? I mean, you know, doing high volumes with Walmart and then, you know, us taking that and then doing it domestically ourselves. I mean, we don't have the efficiencies and the pricing that Walmart has, right? So that's our biggest challenge is that we start off not in the high volumes to get the good shipping rates, to get the good pack and pick rates, right? I mean, doing this domestically ourselves as a new program as compared to, you know, the most efficient machine in the world, Walmart, you know, taking it at the port. So it's been a challenge, but every count's different, every product's different. But
and we've really learned what to look for in terms of the, I guess you can call them the hidden costs. If you weren't a seller in the past, you really learn how things can add up very quickly. And
so give us an example.
Weight shipping and stuff like that. We've learned
returns.
Returns, etc. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like that. Boxes, whether we want them individually packed coming from China or whether we want to have our own boxes here, and the flexibility of being able to sell certain products that are prepackaged, that's a big one. And then at what point do we outsource some of our warehousing to use FBA, or do we keep things in house? Our reorder points, etc.
Well, I was going to ask you that question. Do you FBA a lot of stuff at this point?
For Amazon, we do. We don't use FBA for multi-channel fulfillment.
Okay. So you're doing your MF, or you have a third party.
In the U.S., we have a third party, and here we have our own warehousing space.
So you're MF in there. And now, one of the trends that I'm seeing recently, very recently, is some sellers saying, I'm thinking about offering shipping myself, going actually back to MF to help support the FBA, because in the Q4 it gets so insane, they can't sometimes keep up with the volume, so they're offering seller fulfilled prime and things like that. Has that started to cross your desk or the thoughts about doing stuff like that again, going back into the shipping business after getting rid of some of it for FBA?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were actually talking about that the other day, the seller fulfilled prime. We do all the fulfillment ourselves here in our warehouse here. So we're drop shipping for
retailers.
In Canada, yeah. So, I mean, in Canada, we actually we're looking into it, doing the Seller Fulfilled Prime. I mean, we got the warehouse space for it.
Though in Canada, that's the only concern. I believe it's only in the U.S. right now.
Oh, Seller, they don't offer that in Canada yet?
I don't believe they do.
Okay.
No.
Okay. But it still seems to be one of the trends where sometimes it just makes sense to ship it more yourself. So in Canada, you can handle that. In the U.S., you would have to use a third-party company, right, to do that for you, is what you described. Okay. Okay. And there's costs there, too. I'm just trying to – I'm always trying to figure out in advance, you know, what's the next big move, right, you know, and try to get ahead of it. And it's really hard to figure out, isn't it?
Yeah. I think the Seller Fulfilled Prime is – fantastic. I mean, especially if you know you're in your warehouse every day, why can't you know you probably ship it quicker than Amazon could ship it, right? It's all your stuff right there. So yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. Okay, so I'm looking at your company. So you are looking for more people to sell your products, and I want to try to find a rational way to let people know that you you are open to wholesaling to other people, and you do drop shipping. What percentage of your business is drop shipped? And is that in your division?
Yeah, it's I'm sorry, like 10-20%.
Oh, okay.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's sometimes some of these tool companies or stuff like that. It doesn't necessarily a third party seller like me. It's other catalog companies that would sell your products, and they would place the order through you. And it would come, then we all think it comes from them, right? But it's really coming from you. Okay. All right.
I think that's a big opportunity for us to grow. I think there's some real opportunities there, especially because a lot of retailers, as you've talked about, they're moving much more into online. And that often includes expanding their selection to more than what they'd have on a retail shelf. And so we believe in our products themselves, and we believe also in our ability to make the listings at a decent quality and be able to handle the drop shipping. And I think with that combination, we're going to start reaching out to more retailers who are looking for new products.
And will you drop ship from the U.S. too, or only from Canada?
Yeah, we
both.
Both.
Okay, so both the
for drop shipping integration.
Okay. But you're also looking for a wholesaler, somebody like me, or wholesale account, somebody like me who would be interested in buying your product, paying for it, and then selling them on wherever channel I wanted to sell them on. You're open to those discussions too, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I want to put this out here now. You know, I can't believe I'm bringing in competitors to a product group that I found. You better appreciate this, people. I met this guy at a bar, and I was smart enough to talk. Actually, we were drinking Japanese beer, wasn't it? It wasn't that good. At least that's what I was drinking. What were you drinking there, Mark?
Well, probably Japanese beer. What caught my eye, it wasn't you. It was they put a fresh big platter of sushi right in front of you.
Yeah, that was awesome, wasn't it? I think you and I ate a full meal there, right there, standing there within 5 minutes. It was really good, I agree. Yeah, we went to the quiet place because it was so loud, and then it became loud there too, so it was really tough to talk. Okay, so I'm going to give away the secret. It is smartbrandsinternational.net. Now, who would they want to contact? How would you guys want to handle this? I don't want to bury you in contacts, but I mean, what's the best way to make it as painless as I can for you all?
No, we welcome all contact. There's an info at smartbrandsinternational.net on the website.
Okay. So when they go to that site, there's a place for info. They can reach out and say, hey, I'm interested in being a wholesaler. I'm interested in drop shipping. I'm interested in carrying products.
Absolutely. You also could contact Kieran as well.
So my email is kieran@treksafe, treksafe.net.
treksafe.net. Okay.
And Kieran is spelled K-I-E-R-A-N.
kieran@treksafe.net. And so that's one way to get in touch with it. And then I'll have all these links on my site. And I don't want you competing and dropping below map, darn it, whoever it is. Don't lower your price. Well, I can't say that. I'll agree to map. That's my theory on stuff. I never undercut anybody, but I do agree to map. And when I do, I honor my agreement. That's all.
We'll get your account set up right away.
Yeah, you want my account. No kidding. Yeah, prepayment, right? That's what you want. That's the smart move. Your CFO. You know, what's your finance department sit about? Are they like, Kieran's dad gave him a little project to do, and he hired this guy, Mark, and those guys are, they're playboys having fun, you know. Or do they see this as the real, you know, do they understand that someday this is going to be a huge, huge part of the business?
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, it's like we're starting from scratch. It's kind of hard. What you expect it to be a $1 million company in the first year or 2 years? You know, what are the expectations? And there's no real bar that they're holding us to. We're kind of holding ourselves to our own bar. And
but you're profitable.
We're doubling sales every year right now.
You didn't answer my question. Just like any other sales guy. You know, I used to be a CFO, just so you know. I mean, so I've been down this road. You guys could buffalo me all you want to. You're profitable.
Yes, we are profitable.
Okay, good. I was worried because Dad would be worried. A good dad would be worried because you want to, you know, I get it. No, I mean, I appreciate the fact that you guys are so open and candid about this because it's very rare to get the inside peek because we all don't understand why more people won't sell to us. But then, you know, do you want 50 people selling your product on Amazon? Is that good for you or bad for you?
Bad, usually.
Bad, usually right. Bad. Right, because the only thing that we can compete on is price, right? Otherwise, it's exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so then you run into potential problems. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about limiting the number of people that would sell?
Yeah, I mean, it's generally, it hasn't been the issue. I mean, the issue is if people get, you know, things as gifts or they fall off the back of the truck and all of a sudden they're selling for half the price, you know, less than our FOB. That's when, you know, but those kids only last for so long. I think we sell the price say we're selling to you, you wouldn't be able to sell it cheaper than we would be, right? I mean, so we try and keep the market, everyone at the same price. So
we've done a pretty good job of being able to control the market for our products, that anyone who's selling it properly through us has the chance to compete and get a fair price and not be undercut by really any of the other players. And that really goes back to the whole point with the retailers, is that we pick our markets so that we're not competing against a retailer that none of us, not even ourselves as the manufacturer, can really compete with.
That's smart. I'm very smart. Well, boys, I'm impressed. I mean, I love the story. I mean, I love the fact that you guys are in from the ground. I mean, this is a rare opportunity to create something that you know is going to be incredibly huge and big. And you guys are in at the ground floor developing this kind of, you know, person by person, you know, product by product. I mean, that's very, very exciting. Do you ever think you'd get this opportunity? I mean, do you ever anticipate that it would be, because basically you're running your own company in some ways. I know there are constraints and there are people you have to answer to, but it sounds pretty like the Wild West in U.S. terms.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, when I first interviewed and got hired, I was overwhelmed and super excited about, like, wow, we actually design and create and then go out and sell it ourselves and do everything from, you know, cradle to grave, which is the coolest part, because we'll have meetings and we'll just be big think tanks spitballing ideas. We were doing that last week with a new safety kit we're developing. But just something unique and really cool, then really see it, you know, come to life and sell it, which is, it's just really cool, because a lot of people get that opportunity to do stuff like that and actually have input on how the product looks, feels, acts. I mean, so it's pretty cool. I mean, it's a lot of fun here. It's a good work environment, a great culture here. So couldn't be happier.
All right. Kieran, anything to add?
I think Mark summed it up right there. It's great to have a small entrepreneurial almost part to the business here, where we can really look to grow in whatever avenues we wish. We really appreciate the freedom we have, as well as the support we've been getting from the larger part of the business.
Yeah. And then we can put a powerful brand on the products too.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's so smart. You know, it makes me think of what, you know, Apple used to be like, right? Or I think Google was still that way, where they're allowed to work on their own projects. It's the research part of your company. I mean, really, in essence. And to me, that's a very smart business. Dad's pretty smart. Whoever is allowing this to continue, that group of people, and whether it's just your father or not, is very smart, because the research they're doing, the learning that you guys are doing, is going to shape the future of that company someday. I agree it isn't tomorrow, but it's coming. And man, you guys are going to be so well positioned. Man, I thank you so much. I'm going to put your contact information out here. I love the story. It was great meeting you, Mark. I hope to see you again. I wish you guys nothing but success. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So people ask me all the time, Steve, how do you find wholesalers? Here's an example. I look for them everywhere I go. It was a conversation going to an Amazon Boost conference, listening to Amazon talk about stuff.
And here I meet a company that has some potential products for me today, but more importantly, down the road. And I want to start that developing that relationship. You hear a lot of us talk about that. These are long-term relationships, so you got to start somewhere. And so when you can meet one of the guys and you can tell right away he's a good guy, that really helps. And so, you know, that's where you meet your wholesalers, is you do the work everywhere you go and you say, you have a product? Would you ever be interested in bringing it to market? And then you start that conversation. ecommercemomentum.com, ecommercemomentum.com.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.